My message this morning is going to be a repeat, almost, of last Sunday. Last Sunday we were in, So 432 has got to be our closing song. Last week we read 1 Samuel 14. And this week we're going to be in 1 Samuel 14. Last week Andrew talked about the contrast of the pride of Saul and the humility of his son, John. But John 14 tends to be one of my favorite stories in the Bible, too. It demonstrates the faith of Jonathan, but more importantly, it identifies a guy who's never named. I decided for this morning I'm going to call him the average Joe. We're going to, take Joseph and show you. I don't know what his name is. We're never told. But the armor bearer is just your average guy. He's just doing his job. But yet, like most of us, we're just average people. How many people here expect to become someone infamous? Anybody? I can almost claim it, but not. I've traveled a lot, but that doesn't mean that much. A lot of people travel a lot. Been to a few countries, so a lot of other people. I got to admit, coming from the little town of Lisbon and going to places I've gone and meeting the people I've met, it's kind of mind-boggling that God can use one person from a big family in a small town, nowhere, to do what he's done with me. So, average Joe. I feel like an average Joe. And in some ways, yes, I'm going to have Joe here speaking, so we'll see if we can, I can rise to Andrew's abilities. But the armor bearer is just an interesting person to meet. Something I've been pondering this, what to say to start off with. I realize that average people are just people going through a normal day. Then something unique happens, and the average becomes a hero, at least for a little. After excitement dies down, then the hero goes back to having his or her typical normal day. But for a moment there, they stand out and shine. And that's why our dear brother Joe here, I'm making up the name, don't get caught up with that. The armor bearer, he's just having an average day. He's in the military, so we'll think of him as an army guy. Not that that's anything against the Navy, Air Force, or anything else, but here he is, out doing his thing. And let's just go ahead and read these verses, starting with 1 Samuel 14. I'm just going to read verse 1, and then jump down to verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 15. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, let us cross over the Philistine garrison that is on the yonder side." But he didn't tell his father. John verse 4. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp crag on one side and a sharp crag on the other side. The name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Seneth. The one crag rose from the north opposite Mishbash, and the other was south opposite Edom. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come, let us cross over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you, according to your desire." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we'll cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait till we come to you,' then we will stay in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands, and this will be a sign to us." And when both of them revealed themselves in the garrison of the Philistines, the Philistines said, "Behold, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, "Come up to us, and we will tell you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." And then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, with some to death after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan's armor bearer made was about 20 men, within about a half a furlough in an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp in the field, that among all the people, even the garrison and the raiders, trembled, and the earthquake, so that it became a great trembling. So, a little bit of background story. Back in chapter 13, verse 2, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men, 2,000 Ekath, 1,000 with Jonathan. And Jonathan decided that he'd had enough of being under the oppression of the Philistines. So in verse 3, Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was at Geba, and the Philistines heard it, and then Saul blew the trumpet, brought the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Well, the Philistines amassed a great big army, and all the Israelites got there, and they all did. And so there's now about 600 men that are with Saul and Jonathan. From the 3,000, we're down to 600. So you have Jonathan, who's not concerned whether he has 1,000 men, as in the last chapter, or 1,000. Jonathan's big deal. And so he says to his armor bearer, "Hey, step over and see what we can do with this garrison over here on this yonder side." What do we see about the armor bearer? Because he's the focus of my message this morning. Andrew's nice enough to make up my sermon outline here. So what do we find? First thing we find is the armor bearer has confidence. Not so much in himself, but the man he's following. And who is he following? He's following Jonathan. What does he see Jonathan do? He sees Jonathan take 1,000 men and attack the garrison that was in this nearby town and defeat him. Basically, Jonathan started to move. And so this armor bearer who's been with him during training, seeing what kind of man he is, seeing his boldness in battle already. Now he says to him, "Hey, let's go show ourselves these guys and see if we can do it." So the armor bearer has seen Jonathan in action before, so he's confident what Jonathan can do. He's been training underneath him, so I know how he thinks and how he works. And he also knew that Jonathan, even with this statement, while it's a bold statement, is not a rash statement. And so he is able to respond with these words. And verse 7, he said, do all that's in your heart. Turn yourself here, and I am with you according to your desire. He's confident that Jonathan knows what he's doing, and he's going to go along with him. Confidence. How about our confidence? Following Christ. How well we know him. How well we know him. We'll get back to that. That's the first thing I see with this, is his confidence. His confidence not so much in himself, but the person he's following. And we should have that same attitude of, yeah, be confident in what I can do, but also be confident that the Lord can do more through me. The second C I got here, this is 3 C's. 3 C's, yeah, it's got a credit card, not so great. Yeah, it's a passing grade, but nothing the college is going to be excited about. But in these 3 C's, they're all we need, it's all faith. The second C I have is commitment. A commitment, unlike a conviction. A conviction is something you hold. Like, I am convinced and feel truly that abortion is wrong. But at the same time, I'm not going to go down to whatever abortion clinic there might be and stand outside and picket. I'm not opposed to those who do, but I'm not choosing to go down and do it myself. So conviction is nice, but this is commitment. Because a commitment is going to have us step out of the action. Verses 7 through 12, and the armor bearer says, all of you, all is in your heart, I'm here with you. Then Jonathan lays out his plan. We're going to go expose ourselves to these guys, and whatever they say is what we're going to do. Let's say, if they say, wait there, we'll wait here. And when they come, we'll defeat them here. If they say, come out to us, and we'll go over there, and we'll defeat them over there. Jonathan wasn't worried about winning or losing. He was just deciding, he was letting God, by their words, choose the battle. And they chose Valgrind on their side, which Jonathan was excited by that. And the armor bearer follows up after him to leave up into the battle. Confidence. Confidence to the mission before him, before them. He's confident in God and Jonathan. He's committed to what Jonathan wants to do. When you make any commitment, when you're stepping out in that commitment, there's no more hiding. They have been hiding. Men were still hiding in caves, still hiding in the woods, still hiding in the wilderness someplace. But now, when it's a commitment, it's time to step out. So I've never done this, many of you have, and some of you will. Commit to the marriage. You know, you can say, oh yeah, let's get married. Okay, great. When does that commitment really start taking effect? Oh, let's say about the time you're walking down the aisle, you're about to say your I do's, and life changes. Doesn't it? I'm just guessing. I've never been there. But I'm looking at your faces. I'm seeing some your memories going back there, and realizing a lot changes. When you make a commitment, and you step out in it. And that is what's happening here. They come out of hiding, and they're stepping out. And they're stepping out with boldness. Because that's the type of person Jonathan is, and the armor bearer is doing it. So the armor bearer has confidence in the man he's following. He's committed to the cause, committed to the mission. Then the last C is this. Courage. They only tell us how many are in the garrison. The garrison is just a troop of men, but we get an idea there's quite a few because they killed 20. And the rest run and hide. But there's courage involved because they're going into a battle in which they are outnumbered. And they have been exposed. They are vulnerable because they're no longer hiding. And the people saying, come on up here, we're going to show you something. So they are exposed and vulnerable, yet they are still under God's provision and God's protection. Then they start the battle. They're fighting up there. They're climbing up on hands and knees. Hands and feet, it says here. But they're having to climb up the cliff to get to the battlefield. These guys, if they wanted to be really mean and nasty, they could have attacked them if they trusted the hill. Maybe they did. But Jonathan and his armor bearer were able to prevail. And they fell before Jonathan, verse 13. And his armor bearer put some to death after him. Some of them might have been attacking the armor bearer. Some of them might have just been wounded. And the armor bearer was making sure they didn't get back up and attack him from the rear. So Jonathan is in the lead, hacking and slicing away because he's one of two people in the army that have a sword. Saul's the other. So he's doing what he can with his sword, and the armor bearer, who's got whatever else instruments that he has, is using them to make sure he's finished off. But it's a battle against unseen odds, but they're victorious because God gives them the strength, God gives them the victory. And then, too, we see in this, too, in this courage, is the flight of the enemy. Because the fear of the Lord falls upon them. Verse 15, there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people, even the garrison and the raiders trembled, and the earthquakes that became a great trembling. My New American Standard says, trembling of God. Because God is involved in this, too. The ground is actually shaking. Because people are fearful in their heart, and they're fearful in nature because the nature riding us too. They are experiencing the fear of the Lord, but not like we're encouraged to experience the fear of the Lord, where we fear him in respect and follow him in honor. They're experiencing the fear of the Lord in terror. And they are running, they are like. Three C's: confidence, commitment, and courage. And I was maybe about 11 to be discouraged now, so I got a little bit of time, so I'm going to see. Because this is average Joe. How about an average Jane? Some of you ladies here go, "Oh, yeah, what about that?" Let's maybe turn back to Judges chapter 4. A story perhaps you're familiar with. If not, you'll be more so now. Judges chapter 4. This is the time when there are no kings. There are prophets and there are judges. And this is an interesting chapter because in all the book of Judges, this is one that centers on two ladies. Deborah, who is the judge for this particular period of time, and she's also a prophetess, which means she foretells what God's going to do. She's an important lady, and people are coming to her to have issues set. And she's judging between different people. But then she calls up a guy by the name of verse 6. Yes, I know. I've had my find my verse 6 so I can start calling my story. Judges chapter 4, verse 6. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Enbodoman, from Kedesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord God of Israel has commanded, go, march to Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And I will draw to Sisera, the commander of David's army, and his chariots, and his men troops to the river Kishon, and I will give it into your hand." Now listen to this. Here's God called out to serve God. And for our sister, "If you go with me, then I will go. But if you not go with me, I will not go." So where's his courage? Where's his commitment? You know, where's his confidence? He's kind of missing all three of those in a way. If you go with me, I'll go, though, I don't know. And then she says to him, verse 9, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the outer shall not be yours. On the journey that you're about to take, the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Now Kedesh, I'm going to focus on this just a little bit because that's where they're going to go to. And Barak called Deborah and Naphtali together, verse 10, to Kedesh, and 10,000 men went up with it. Deborah also went. Now Heber, the Kenite, had separated himself from the Kenites from the sons of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the Ocean of the Manamim, which is near Kedesh. So, they're going to have a battle by Kedesh, and Heber has pitched his tent in a tree nearby. And then they get to the battle. And down in verse 15, the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Meanwhile, verse 16, Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth. And all of the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, not even one was left. Wiped out the entire army, 10,000 guys wiped out the entire army. But Sisera fled away on foot, verse 17, to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. Where's her tent park? Right, not too far from Bethlehem. So he's running, looking for a place to hide, finds a friend, or so he thinks. And he says to her in verse 18, he went off to meet. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my master, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." That's it. "Do not be afraid." He turned aside to her in the tent, and she covered him with her robe. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink. Then she covered him. And he said to her, stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and inquires of you, say, is there anyone here? And she'll say, no. But Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, seized a hammer in her hand, and went secretly to him, and drove the peg into his temple, and went through into the ground, and he was sound asleep, exhausted, so he died. She's one time, hey, don't be afraid. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be. But nonetheless, then a few minutes later, along comes Barak, verse 22, and Jael said to him, come, and I will show you the man who you are seeking. And he comes in and finds Sisera, literally, 10 feet to the ground. Rough way to go. A little bit of milk calms the nervous stomach, and he falls asleep exhausted. So what do we know about our average shape? I can say it this way, without me quite as disparaging sound, but she's just a housewife. Mind you, housewife people. Okay, but here she is. She's taking care of home, taking care of family, providing food, providing clothing, tending a garden, doing all the things that the wives do. But along comes somebody who thinks he found a place of a safety house, a refuge. There you go. A house of refuge is a city of refuge, well, a tent of refuge in this case. But she knows that a battle is near. You can't have all those men here screaming, hollering, fighting, and swords flashing, and armaments and everything else, and all that noise. She knows something's going on. And then here comes Sisera on foot, running. Probably no weapons in his hands anymore because that's more weight to carry and slowing down. And she says, hey, come on in here. Don't be afraid. Okay. Because she took care of him. So, she's just a lady going about her everyday work. So along comes, but they have battles nearby. Along comes the guy seeking shelter. And then he is defeated. Not by the great army of Israel, but by the lady just going about her daily duties. One comment here, God can use women as well as man. Who's willing? Are you willing to be used by God? Doesn't matter your gender. Doesn't matter what you look like, what your skin color is, what your language is. If you're willing to let God use you, He will. Whether it's an average Joe, like the armor bearer, who never knows his name, and quite honestly, 1 Samuel 14, that's the only time they ever hear about it. Just one more group. Average guy just helping out his friends. Probably the battle is too big for them to do by themselves. And here you have a lady. She's just going about her daily routines. She knows the battle's going on because she can hear it. But yet when an opportunity comes to help win that battle, she does. She takes the opportunity and she uses the guy to do the same thing. I'm going to close with these thoughts. You do not fight a battle against armies. That's someone goes with me. But what our fight really is, is against sin. Sin is our problem. Sin is what kills us. We do not go out to kill the enemy because we really can't destroy sin. But we go out to rescue the fallen. Those who are struggling underneath the weight of sin, who are looking for a way out. We're not going out to destroy the enemy, we're about to rescue the needy. That's what Jesus Christ calls us to do. Yeah, there may be a sense of battle and fall, but we shouldn't be afraid of that because God has given us a mission, and we should go do that. We do not follow generals, we follow the king. It's okay to be an average Joe or Jane. The question is, do we have the same attitude and determination to follow Jesus the same way the armor bearer followed John? Confidence in who Jesus is and what he can do. Commitment to the ministry is set before us. Courage to step out and do it, knowing that he is with us.
how are you doing?
Oh, I do. Am I really confident that God can use you guys? Sure. Am I really confident in these things? Oh, that's good. How are you? Am I committed to the ministry God has set before me? Am I stepping out to do what He's called me to do? How are you doing, Steph? Are you committed to that? Is there action involved? That's what commitment does. Commitment involves that. Courage to actually step out and do it, but knowing that God is there with us. That's what they had in that little battle against that garrison. Two men, Jonathan and Leon, that they had God with them, giving them the victory. Are you with Almighty? Is our courage having to step out? Are we actually doing what God has called us to do? That's my invitation to you. Think the process of story. Think about these three C's: confidence, commitment, courage. And help. Allow God to help that be part of who you are. Who are you? So we can be used of God. Just be Jonathan. Just like Jacob. Father, I thank you for this time together today. I thank you for these two characters who were used by you to bring about victory. I thank you, Father, that even though they are average people, you use average people all the time. I thank you for the simple stories that they have and how easy it is for us to identify with these two. Identifying with someone like Moses, David, maybe not so easy because they are uniquely chosen by you for specific responsibilities that are large responsibilities and well known, well seen by all. But you've chosen us just the same, but for small responsibilities. Perhaps responsibilities that no one ever knows about, never hear. The responsibilities you've given us that we can be faithful. So I thank you that we have these people like this that we can identify with, and we can be an average Joe, an average Jane, and be used by you to touch the lives of those around us. Not to win a battle, but to rescue someone who's sick. So I pray, Father, as we think about our confidence in you, our commitment to you, and our courage through you, that you would use us to touch the lives of people here and bring them up. And it's in your name.